Well, good morning, everybody, once again. I feel so far away from you, I'm just going to have to come down here. You know, the church that we were at in South Scottsdale, Los Arcos United Methodist Church, was also set up kind of similarly to this, and I always felt a little funny, you know, being up there. And of course, now I'm serving at Gold Canyon United Methodist Church, where I think the largest congregation that I led worship for was a little over 1,000 people. Yeah, and so I don't have the luxury of being able to be close to folks like I can today. So it's just such a joy for me to be here with you and to spend some time with you in worship today. Well, today we are going to hear two scriptures. The first is from the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 36. And then the second one comes from the letter written by James. And of course, we don't really know who James was or what his purpose was, but, you know, he wrote a terrific letter, and so we are going to look a little bit at that as well. In the Gospel of Luke, not that I want to give away too much of the message today, but in the Gospel of Luke, Luke's Gospel is really, could be called the social justice gospel, because Luke is really concerned about the plight of the poor, and the needy, and the hungry, and the sick. Luke wants us to hear Jesus' words coming from that context, coming from that, being seen through those lenses. And so he spends a lot of time in his gospel talking about the importance of caring for one another and being there for each other. This particular passage comes from the Sermon on the Plain, which in Matthew's gospel is this, called the Sermon on the Mount. And what's interesting is that when we get to the blessed parts of the Sermon on the Plain in Luke's gospel, he focuses on that social justice piece. So where Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, Luke says, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. And so through this sermon that he is preaching to the people, Jesus talks about the importance of being blessed. Blessed are you who are hungry, for you will be fed, he says. Blessed are you who weep, for you will laugh. He goes on to say, give to everyone who asks of you, who begs from you, and give without any expectation for anything in return. So when we get to verses 32 through 36, which you are going to be hearing shortly, there's an added emphasis of the social justice theme in these verses. And then later, as we go into the book of James, as we look at the letter of James, James wrote his letter towards the end of the first century. So some, you know, 60, 70 years after Jesus' death. And what he says to the people really echoes what Jesus in Luke's gospel says, only with a little bit of a twist. James's purpose was to write a letter that would instruct the Jewish Christians who had been spread out across the land, who had been dispersed to other communities, so that they could be connected to who Jesus was and what his mission was on earth. And he guides them through their newfound faith. So he calls them to be courageous. He calls them to be faithful. But he calls them to be faithful in a way that sometimes seems a little bit unusual to us. In James, he says, for faith without works is dead. There's a real emphasis on the works of the church, the works of the people, which is really in direct conflict with what Paul says, because Paul tells us we are saved by faith alone. So how do we wrestle with that tension? Well, that's part of our jobs as followers of God, right? It's part of what we need to do to listen, have the Holy Spirit speak to us, and to determine the best ways for us to serve God and to serve God's mission. So let's go ahead and hear the scriptures for this morning.
Listen to these words from Luke. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. I don't always like using this big Bible, but it's the only one that has giant print. So now I'm reading from James, the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. I don't know how much David has shared with you about our family, but we have two children, a 28-year-old son who is an engineer, and a 25-year-old daughter who is the manager or the assistant manager at Sweet Tomatoes down on Power Road on the south loop of the 202. So if any of you venture down that way and find yourself in need of a place to eat, go into Sweet Tomatoes and ask for Erica. And I know that she will take good care of you, especially if you tell her, oh yeah, I know your mom and your dad. But our son, Ryan, has been somewhat of an adventurous soul. And several years ago, he came to me and he said, you know, Mom, I really want to try skydiving. And I thought to myself, yeah, okay. Well, he was well over the age of 21, so legally he was an adult, and he had his own job, and he was doing his own thing, and I thought to myself, well, I can't really tell him no like I did when he was a little boy. But I did say to him that I thought that he was nuts. I mean, there's just no way that you would find me in an airplane ready to jump out, right? I mean, that's something that I would never even think of doing. But Ryan enjoys doing things that other people might find dangerous. So I said to him, okay, Ryan, you can go skydiving, but please don't tell me before you go, because I don't want to know until after you've come back. And so he honored my wishes. He didn't tell me until he came back. And you know, I could tell by the fire in his eyes that it was such an exhilarating experience for him. Falling out of that plane and having that parachute pull him up and keep him from going splat on the ground. That, to him, that was exhilarating. That was just so exciting. And I remember him saying to me, Mom, it was the most amazing experience that I have ever had. But I don't think I'll do that again. And I was so glad when he said that. You know, my son Ryan really likes to take a risk. He's probably the risk taker in the family. And some of us like to take risks, right? Some of us like to do the things that are maybe other people might find dangerous, or they might find it unusual. Some people like to take risks with their money in the stock market because they figure that's the only way that they're going to be able to increase the size of their portfolio. Sometimes our risks can be dangerous, but sometimes taking a risk is what we need to do in order to step out of our comfort zones, in order to step out into an area that is different from what we've done before. And, you know, when we do that risk, we kind of have a situation like my son did when he was falling out of that airplane. The endorphins just went flooding through his body, and it gave him such a rush of excitement. And even when that rush was over, I know that his excitement and the feeling of accomplishment was still there, because that feeling of knowing that he had done something that he had never done before was just an excitement, something that he would never forget for the rest of his life. So when was the last time that you were willing to take a risk? When was the last time that you were willing to step out of your comfort zone and do something that you have never done before, or that you have never dreamed of doing before? Now, maybe it's not something as dangerous as skydiving. Maybe it was something simple like telling someone that you loved them for the first time. Stepping out of that comfort zone felt really scary and felt really dangerous. But I bet when you look back on those instances when you did that, that you now think, well, that wasn't quite so scary after all. Maybe I can do that again. Well, about 8 or 9 years ago, I was asked by the folks at Los Arcos United Methodist Church to be the director of Sidewalk Sunday School. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with Sidewalk Ministries, but it is a ministry that takes the Word of God out to the streets, out to children and families who are otherwise unchurched, who otherwise might not experience the love and hope that comes from being a child of God. Well, when I was asked to be the director of Sidewalk Ministries, I was working full-time for the city of Mesa, and I was doing a lot of other things at the church, and I thought to myself, I don't really want to do this. Besides, I really don't know anything about it, and that would require me to really interact with people. And believe it or not, I'm an introvert. So I was really not sure about this. But then I heard the voice in my head say to me, this is something that you need to do. And I've learned since then to listen to the voice of my head, in my head, because usually the voice in my head is God speaking to me. And so I agreed that I would be the director of Sidewalk Sunday School. Well, a group of 4 or 5 of us, including David, we got together and we started planning all that we were going to do for Sidewalk Sunday School. And it took several weeks for us to do that, but finally we were ready to go out into the neighborhood and let the neighborhood know that this exciting ministry was going to come to them, right in their backyards. So we got ready, my platform partner, Mr. Bucky, and I, we got ready to go out into the neighborhoods and go door to door handing out flyers and letting people know that Sidewalk Sunday School was coming their way. Now I have to tell you, I was stepping way outside my comfort zone that day, because I don't like going door to door to sell anything. In fact, when I was a little girl and I was in Girl Scouts, that's how we sold Girl Scout cookies. None of the sitting out in front of the grocery store stuff. You know, we would go out and we would have to go door to door carrying the boxes of cookies with us. I hated that. That was so not me. And, you know, even though Girl Scout cookies practically sell themselves, especially in those days at about 50 cents a box, you know, it was, for me, going door to door and selling a ministry was just way outside of my comfort zone. But I knew that what we were offering was better than cookies. And so we did it. Well, that first house that we went to, a man opened up the door, and he was very kind. He stood there and he listened to us. We told him about what Sidewalk Sunday School was. We described the Sidewalk worship service to him. And he even took one of our flyers. And he said something that I will never, ever forget. He said, you know, this is such a good thing that you folks are doing. We really need something like this in our neighborhood. You know, just the other night, there was a shooting down the block, and a man was killed. And as he said that, he was pointing in the direction that Mr. Buckey and I were headed next. And I thought to myself, oh God, what have you gotten me into? It was one of those moments when I wasn't quite sure exactly where I needed to go or what I needed to do. But you know, I was called by God to start this ministry. Sometimes we are all called by God to do something out in the community or out into the world or even right here in the wall, within the walls of the church. So when were you last called by God? When did God last talk to you with that voice that's in your head? You know the one I'm talking about, right? When was it that God called you to do something that would cause you to step outside of your comfort zone and do something that you never dreamed that you would ever do before? Well, God does call us because there's tremendous need out in the world. There are people who are hungry. There are people who are homeless. There are people who have lost all hope. There are children who need good adult role models because they have no adult role models in their homes. There are so many needs out in the world. There are people who don't have enough food to eat. People who don't have enough clean water to drink. People who are dying from malaria when we could save their lives at a cost of $10 per person. There's so much that is going on out into this world. There's so many needs out there. And if someone does not respond, then it is likely that some people will die. You know, Jesus understood the suffering that goes on in this world. And from the beginning of his ministry, we see how he reached out to the least and to the lost. How he reached out and touched those who were considered untouchable, the lepers and the sick. How he reached out his hand to the prostitutes and to the tax collectors. How he brought the love of God into their hearts. He loved them with a love that no one has ever loved them with. And when it came time for Jesus to leave this earth, he called upon his followers to continue his ministry, to continue to spread the word, to continue to spread the love of God. And yes, today we are those followers, aren't we? We are the ones who are asked by Jesus to continue his ministry. So I'm going to ask you one more time. When was the last time you were willing to take a risk to step outside your comfort zone to do something to help a fellow human being, to do something to feed the poor, to do something to bring God's message of love to the world? Well, as God's people, we are called to respond. And we hear that very clearly in the passage that was read this morning from Luke's gospel. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? It's easy to love somebody that you love, right? That you already love. It's easy to do good things or to do kind things for somebody that you care about, right? Earlier this month, I had my birthday, and while I was in the office, a delivery of flowers was made to the office. And yes, they came from my husband. That was a wonderful, wonderful thing that he did for me. And it was easy for him to do that because he loves me. But when do we do things for the people that we don't love? Jesus calls us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. Really? We're supposed to love our enemies? And when you think about it, Our enemies are those people that we consider on the margins, consider the people that we don't necessarily understand, or even people that we don't like, right? And if we think about that today, who are our enemies? The beggars? The homeless? The hookers? People that we don't understand? People who are dirty or maybe don't have all of their teeth? Those are the people that Jesus is telling us about. Jesus calls us to nurture them and to be merciful toward others, and especially toward those that we otherwise would not even think of being around. And then when we look at the reading from the book of James, James backs up what Jesus was saying. Here's what he says. He says, "If any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, who upon going away immediately forget what they are like." Doers are people who act, James writes, and they will be blessed in their doing. Real religion and true faith is about making a difference in people's lives. That's what James tells us. Real religion or true faith is not relying on somebody else to make that donation in the donation box, not relying upon someone else to go to the grocery store and buy food to food put into the food pantry. It's about doing something that maybe you've never done before. It's about stepping outside of your comfort zone. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, well, you know, that's okay for other people to go out and to volunteer and be a part of a ministry that I probably should become a volunteer for, but you know, I'm just too busy, and I'm too tired, or I'm too old, or I'm too, just fill in the blank. Because we can all find excuses for why we should not do or cannot do the things that God has called us to do. And when that happens to us, you know what we become? We become comfort zone Christians. You know what a comfort zone Christian is? Well, I happen to have a little video here that describes it for you. Go ahead and show that.
It's the day to get working for Jesus.
Kat, I'm so excited to find someone who's ready to take action and get things done.
Oh man, I am that girl.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've got something perfect for you. So let's get started. What are you doing? Stand up. Remember, we were gonna take action.
Yeah, but this is where I always sit.
Right, but I need more than this.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. Okay, Jesus, how much do you want?
What?
$50? Is that enough?
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Oh, all right. Well, 100 then, you know. I mean, you drive a hard bargain. Okay, but you might not want to cash this till next Friday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There you go.
Okay, Kat, really, I do think it's great that you want to give, but I want you to mentor a younger woman.
Ooh, yeah, right. Well, Jesus, you know, I'm not really into, like, teaching people and stuff. I mean, I don't really get into that.
Okay. You know that woman at the office, Amy?
Yeah.
I want you to take her out to lunch. Tell her about me.
Well, Amy is different. I mean, like, really different, you know?
I know, but she needs to know about me.
And I can tell the people at the church to call her. I mean, they get paid to do things like that.
I want you to do that.
Jesus, I just don't feel comfortable doing that.
What are you doing? I am waiting for my car and fighting off a panic.
No, Kat. The problem is, you're too comfortable.
A light reading. Something the calendar tries this? Would rather glue.
Well, something happened to our audio there, but I think you get the point, right? How many of us have become too comfortable with our faith? How many of us have been ready to just write out that check, that little extra money. But instead, and then we just sit in our easy chairs and watch our TV and eat our popcorn. Anybody want popcorn? Jesus calls us to do and not just give. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm advocating for not giving. Don't get me wrong. Money, giving our money and giving of ourselves, giving of our resources is absolutely important. I got popcorn stuck in my throat. Because when we don't, then we don't have the resources in which to do ministry. So, now I don't want you to all go out and tell David Felton that I told you to stop giving. Okay? Because that's not what I'm saying. But what Jesus wants us to do is to get up out of our comfort zones, to get up out of our easy chairs, to put down the bowl of popcorn, and to get out and to do. To be a part of that mission team that is going out to foreign countries or going out to other states that are in need to help those who have been ravaged by hurricanes or tornadoes or whatever the case may be. Jesus calls us to go to that habitat home, that next habitat build, and wave a hammer, and hopefully don't hit somebody with it, to wave that hammer or to provide food for the workers who are there. That's what Jesus calls us to do. I see that you folks have a Stephen ministry. I just graduated and became a Stephen minister. And so maybe you are called to join a part of that ministry and be a part of that ministry, to lend a listening ear or to be present with people who are dealing with significant issues in their lives. Or maybe Jesus is simply calling you to go and talk to the person in the hospital bed that is sharing a room with your loved one. Because when you visit your loved one and you bring him or her great joy, that person in the next bed might not have somebody else in their lives who is able to be there for them. Jesus is calling us all to step out of our comfort zones and to do something that we have never done before, something we have never dreamed of doing before. You know, when we were several years into our sidewalk ministry, there was a wonderful couple who had been members, I believe they were charter members, actually, of Los Arcos United Methodist Church, and they were very supportive of this ministry. In fact, they gave us a lot of money in order to help us as we ministered to these children who otherwise would not have known Jesus in their lives. But no matter how often I invited them to come and be a part of this ministry, to give of themselves and to give of their time, they didn't come. And I know in my heart that part of the reason why they did not come was because they believed that very strongly in terms of the immigration situation. And many of the children in our ministry were Hispanic. And so from their perspective, these children were probably undocumented and, in their perspective, didn't belong here. Then, one Saturday morning, this couple drove up in their car, and they walked up to the site and where we had the tarps on the ground and the truck was all set up. And before they even knew it, they were being invited by the children to play basketball and to twirl hula hoops and to join in the games that were going on before the service actually began. And in fact, when the service did begin and the children were gathering on the tarps, I watched as the woman was being guided by a little girl and motioned to sit down so that the little girl could sit in her lap. That day, I watched as this couple bonded with those children who so desperately needed their love and affection. And I felt blessed to have them there. I was thrilled But I was even more thrilled when that couple came back the next Saturday, and the Saturday after that, and the Saturday after that. All it took was for them to step out of their comfort zones and to do the work that God had called them to do. God is calling each and every one of us. God is calling us to step out of our comfort zones and get working for Jesus. God is calling us to do more than just write extra to put in the collection plate, although that is very vital and very necessary. But God is calling each of us to get out and to be doers of the faith. So next time Jesus comes knocking on your door, how will you respond? Amen.